seems like it's going to somehow be deconstructed one of two ways, and there could be multiple ways. Somebody's either going to have an aha in the moment of seeing this kind of violence that either they're participating in or they're supporting from a distance, and it's just it breaks through something in them, something there's just been a veil that has made them more inhumane than human. And so whatever your theology is, whatever your belief system is, or you don't even have a belief system, you just say, I can't support this any longer. And then I'm thinking the other way to deconstruct it is for somebody to really think about these issues, to think about their theology, to actually think about a theology that if you devoutly live up to it and really follow it out to its end conclusion, you'll end up supporting the violence as if you're there at the door saying, I'll drag your kids out by their hair. I mean, this is our place. Any theology that supports that anybody could say that they could back up with some verse or whatever, it's so inhumane. It's just, but I mean, we do that from a back to this American Christian thing. I mean, it's so comfortable to sit in for an individual, and I used to participate in some of these kind of contexts,
I did
to
too.
where and you study the Bible in a way that you don't want to be the one to be the one doing at the end of that belief system, to actually be the one who's actually causing the violence, but you are supporting it because you hold to this apocalyptic belief system, this theology which permeates, I would say, the majority of American Christianity. And you
It
know
does.
what, Don, the reason it's so scary to me is that there are many Christians that would read Kenneth Hagin and go, that guy's a whack job, but they still hold to, but they still hold to. They're on the spectrum still of
You're
this
right.
pro-Israel. You know, my mother, who's long gone, who would have seen the because he's more Pentecostal or charismatic or whatever,
Right.
so we won't get into all of that, but
All
she would have
right.
said, oh, there's so many things about that I wouldn't support. But she did. I mean, it was the American flag, it was the Bible, and it was pro-Israel. And it's like she would have said, he and I are on the same side, we're fighting for the same thing, but I would never attend his church. Well, that's why this is so scary, because there are people that are highly intellectual that have really thought through their theology but still embrace this. So it's just like, wow, what is going to stop this? I want to read a few questions, Don, that come from somebody in the listening audience. And it gets to this current uprise, but it also gets to the Palestinian support that looks like, even within the last few months, there's an uprising here in the US. And this comes from a younger individual, half our age. So he asks a few questions here, and we'll start with this one. And you and I might have already covered some of this. Knowing the history and the many struggles of the Jewish people, how do we reconcile that with their treatment of the Palestinians? And should we, in quote, take sides in this conflict? So I can hear him saying, for what the Jewish people have been through, but I think maybe he's got these terms confused, because again, that seems to set up that
That's
either
right.
or, that binary, you're either, if you feel for them because of what they've been through, then won't you want to side with them? But I think that gets into some of your earlier definitions of the terminology here.
No, it's a really fair question. It's a good question because one of the things that concerns me is there's been a surge of anti-Jewish behavior and demonstrations here in Europe, and this has been conflated with support of the Palestinians. But also know here in Europe, some of people who are anti-Jewish are just using now this Palestinian cause to be even further anti-Jewish. So yes, what occurred in the Holocaust to this day is unspeakable. And I put it this way before, we need to take care of the Jews and especially since they've been so oppressed. I went to a church yesterday in Slovenia, and it had the kind of the 12 stations of Christ, the crucifixion, the Via Dolorosa. And it was a painting. It was pre-World War II frescoes. It was really fascinating. Didn't even know it was there. And one of the frescoes is the prototypical Jew walking in front of Christ as he carries his cross. And the Jew is corpulent and has a scroll in his hand. And he's arrogant, and his head is held high, and he's ugly, and he's got a hook nose. That is anti-Jewish. And have Christians been anti-Jewish? My God, the Christian church supported Hitler. That's why Bonhoeffer is so amazing. He was one of the few Christians who was pro-Jewish.
And so Bonhoeffer would have some things to say, wouldn't he?
Oh my gosh.
Yes,
absolutely. Right. You know, but I mean, okay, can we use the Holocaust and can we use these abuses to go in and steal and kill and maim? And my answer is no, it does not have to be an either or. Once again, my wife and I drove through Bavaria last week, and we were talking about Israel and Palestine. And I told her, I said, you know that Bavaria, the Germans offered Bavaria as exclusively a Jewish homeland. They were offered Bavaria. They were offered Liberia. But there has been this push since the late 1880s. Zionism, get back to the land. And there's this phrase that is another huge myth that the Israelis will use. And it was back then. In the 40s and the 50s, it was a land without people for people without a land. All right? Half of that is true. Those are the Jews who didn't have a land and were pushed out of Europe. But the other half is not true. The land was full of people that were already there. And so are we going to add to the atrocity of the Holocaust by committing other atrocities? I disagree with that.
This Zionist term, the second question coming from this individual, and they're asking you, is America fundamentally Zionist? And what do you think about the latest outcry on behalf of Palestinian rights by the younger generations here in the U.S.?
Younger generations are shaking it up. It's kind of interesting because, I stay away. I really, you know, in a public presentation like you and I are doing, even though we're talking, it will be public. And when I do a lecture at school, I don't tell the kids my own politics. You look at my Facebook page and you may be able to tell my politics or not. But I feel very strongly about my politics. I also see the other side. But it's really interesting that there are very few places in America where Republicans and Democrats agree. And Israel is the place where they agree.
Well, that sets up the third question.
And part of that is because so much money flows to these representatives and these senators through the organization called AIPAC. And so this is what is so maddening. We send at least $3.8 billion to Israel. so that they can buy weapons. And then they turn around and use our money to lobby for these representatives. And so you pretty much write any representative. It's kind of interesting because I've written representatives in Virginia and Tennessee, and they all say the same thing. I swear they've been given a script. They're a democracy. They're our friends. We support them fully. They support us, so forth and so on. And there's some of that that I don't disagree with. But I mean, like you said earlier, we're not over there on the front lines, but we're supporting them in their as they commit these atrocities. But one thing about the younger generation here that I love, the younger generation, I think two things made Sheikh Jarrah the match that started this. Yeah. One is cell phones and internet. All right. These people, it's gone international, baby. And now you can see it. Like you said, you can see what's going on.
You can see it.
The other thing is the younger generation, and this is very concerning to the Israeli government and the American government. The younger generation, they're just not devoted to Israel like your generation and my generation.
All right.
And they're questioning this grand meta narrative that we should support Israel at all cost. And of course, you know, the younger generation, I think they're much more attuned. My students are much more attuned to issues of racism than I am.
That's correct. Oh, and so, Don, it's...
I grew up in the South, but I wasn't raised racist. This younger generation, they see through this stuff. And so people are seeing the videos, they're seeing the truth, and I've got an article that someone else wrote that I posted that basically said the Israeli narrative is unraveling. And mm-hmm. It is because of young people who are anti-racism, no matter what, and because of internet cell phones.
With all the things that we can, at least my generation, your generation, same thing, all the cracks that we can take at technology, for the loss of privacy, and also that,
in my
world of therapy, all the telehealth work, and it's not the same as being in the room with somebody and all of that. But then you see the other side of, and, you know, thank God for the fact that somebody can actually start streaming a video they just took, and it doesn't have to go through CNN. It doesn't have to go through and get tweaked and diluted and warped and all of that through media outlets. You know, I came across in preparing for our time today, came across an article that was talking about some of the stands that Bernie Sanders took.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read this to you, and I just want to hear your thoughts on it. Sanders is, and this is out of whatever this article was. Sanders has called Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu a, end quote, desperate racist authoritarian, end of quote. Last week, Sanders penned an opinion column in the New York Times that, while pulling no punches, no longer seems a fringe Democratic view. He said, end quote, "The fact of the matter is that Israel remains the one sovereign authority in the land of Israel and Palestine," end of quote. Sanders wrote, end quote, "And rather than preparing for peace and justice, it has been entrenching its unequal and undemocratic control."
He nailed it. And the cool thing about that, Doug, is he's Jewish.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you for
saying that. Bernie Sanders is Jewish.
Yeah, they talked about his history of even going back to Israel.
That's right.
And the shifts that there's. So this represents... This represents the break, because you said earlier that where Republicans and Democrats across the board agree, they have this consensus around being pro-Israel. This represents that there's a break in that container, if you will. Sure. And I think a lot of it is because of the younger crowd, back to your point, that were Bernie supporters.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I can't, of course, I have no data to back that up, but I think
Sure.
you're right on target there. But there are also 20, and you know, as this goes out, I want people to know that there's a representative. Her name is Betty McCollum from Minnesota, and she put a bill before Congress right now. So Sanders put his bill through before the Senate. Betty McCollum put hers before the House, and the whole idea is we're not taking away our support for Israel, but we're making our support conditional. You've got to knock off the apartheid. You've got to stop your land grab. You've got to stop your colonization. And so Betty McCollum, and then Bernie Sanders, who is Jewish, and AOC has joined this cause. And then the representative Rashid Tlaib,
Yes.
and then is it Ilhan Omar? I'm
Yes.
sorry if I'm saying your names wrong. There are
And
a group
Ortez as
of
well.
20.
Yeah.
Yes, Ortez. There are 20 people now in Congress who are saying we need to do something. And when Bernie Sanders came out with that a couple of days ago, you understand. I mean, when Bernie Sanders ran for president, he was the only one who refused to go and speak at the AIPAC conference.
Yes.
Okay? And the whole idea is if you don't speak at the AIPAC conference, you're not ever going to be president.
That's correct. And that's what this article said, Don.
Yeah, you're
And
not
that's
going to
why he
be
didn't win.
president.
That's why he wasn't the Democratic
You are not going to
nominee.
be president. You're
Wow.
not going to be president. And Obama, I was a supporter of Obama. I'm still a supporter of Obama. And he and Netanyahu did not get along. And of course, that was all over the news. But eventually, Obama gave in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so hopefully the newer generation coming along,
That's right.
they see this truth, and I'm telling you that I thought I would die, and this, you know, this issue would never at least be seen or known or understood. And the last 2 weeks have been horrible for me and others and for you, but have also been the most hopeful I've been. Not because Israelis died or anything like that, but hopeful because people are beginning to see what's actually going on there.
It might as well be a civil war, right, Don?
It's what it is, but it's an unfair civil war because one side has guns.
That's right. That's right.
One side has guns that my tax dollars paid for,
That's right.
and the other side
That's right.
has rocks.
Don, can you say a few things about Hamas?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot that honestly, Doug, I know about Hamas. I want to be very, very careful because, you know, you've got Hamas, which is predominantly in Gaza, and
Yeah.
they have deep connections to Iran, okay? And then you have Fatah, which is the West Bank, and that's Mahmoud Abbas, and they're more moderate. The Hamas, I don't agree with everything that Hamas says or does. But it's interesting that Hamas has been weaponized. The term
Yeah,
has
I know.
been
That's why I
weaponized.
asked. That's why I asked because most people think, oh, terrorists.
Yeah. Palestinian terrorist. Well,
That's correct.
here's my question. who's the terrorist?
Yeah.
It's always the one with the weapon.
Yeah.
And the weapon.
And I think it's back to your point. I think this is what's starting to really surface for people. You don't have to do a lot of research to even see it. And if you're open, you'll come to that conclusion. You'll come to the conclusion of, you know, really who's doing the terrorizing here.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And like Gaza, Hamas is this perfect example. It's their reason they can go in and just bomb the hell out of that place. Yeah. And there are 2 million Palestinians who live in Gaza. They can't go anywhere. They go out on the ocean to fish. They get shot by Israeli soldiers. They can't go into Egypt. They can't go into Israel. There are 2 million people there. I believe it's 40% unemployment. They're starving. And Hamas has actually militarized their response, whereas Fatah has said, we're going to use what's the term, peaceful resistance, Martin Luther King's term. But let me say one thing here, Doug, that's very important.
Please.
And I'm going to say something that's not true, but it's true. If you see anything going on in the Middle East, the real issue is Iran against Saudi Arabia and Saudi Arabia against Iran. It's Shia Muslims in Iran hating Sunni Muslims in Saudi Arabia. And right now, Saudi Arabia is our ally, even though they take an American reporter and dismember him.
That's correct.
But, you know, they're our allies. Well, I'm not saying Iran. They've done atrocities too. But if you look at anything in the Middle East, if the root cause, and that's why I'm being way too simplistic here, the root cause is this war between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Because look at Yemen, okay, the Houthis. That's Saudi Arabia, it's a proxy war. Syria was a proxy war. These are proxy wars that are going on. And so America and Israel and I believe and Saudi Arabia are doing everything they can to demolish Iran.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I say wow just because of how complex it is. And that was one of the questions that this individual had, and that is, Don, have any hope that things, that there can be some kind of something beyond compromise? Because in some ways, compromise, both parties lose.
Listen, Palestinians can't even have a passport.
Yeah.
Most of them can't even have a passport.
Yeah.
And so let the Palestinians have their land and have their freedom and have rights. America, we're all for freedom, you know, until it comes to the Palestinians.
Yeah.
And it's an apartheid regime. And
yes.
And Benjamin Netanyahu is a terrorist.
Hmm. Hmm. And Don, when you say that, does that make the way things work out when you go to visit, even though it sounds like you're going to be going back less than more, but you will continue to do your work to, as you said, to inform? And I know you well enough, it'll be more than just information. It will also have an edge of trying to deconstruct.
Right.
Does it make it unsafe for you when you make a statement like that about Netanyahu? Does that make it unsafe for you to go back? We know in the internet, I was just listening to Russell Brand's interview with Edward Snowden. And
Yeah.
my gosh, by the way, in the listening audience, anybody who wants to listen to that, you might find snippets of that on YouTube because Russell Brand will put some of his podcast excerpts on there. But if you want to get the full meal deal, you have to subscribe to Luminary, which I suggest that you do. There's some great podcasts on Luminary. Maybe one day we'll be on there. Yeah, it's $28 a year, but you can listen to the full interview. It's close to hour and 50 minutes or so. But just listening to Snowden talk about how, for example, what you and I are doing here, there are in quote listening ears. Everything is, yeah, everything's taken in. I mean, as he said, you click off on a podcast or you turn your phone off and you think it's good to go and you're not being, the reality is everything is so tied together. And I'm not getting into any conspiracy theories. They say it's just for kind of an archive of information so they can do data
That's
points and
right.
data measurements. But the point is you say something like you just said, does that make it unsafe for you to go back?
It doesn't make it unsafe for me. There may be one day when Israel will no longer let me in.
Okay, I was going to ask you that, Don. I was
All
going to
right.
ask you that.
There may, and I've, and some of my Palestinian friends have said, you've got to speak out. Other Palestinian friends have said, be very careful because that means you won't be able to come back here.
Wow.
And one of my friends, she has supported Palestinian refugees. That's all she's done. She doesn't even say anything negative about
She
Israel.
just supports the refugees.
She has her own organization there in Denver. She supports the refugees. She was given a 10-year ban from Israel.
Okay.
She's in her sixth year. So,
Wow.
I don't know. The thing is, I've tried to be very careful in defining terms because they always want to argue the same thing and they want to use the same terms. And I try to take away, use the word deconstruct. That's one of my favorite words. You deconstruct what Israel means. You deconstruct what Semitic means. You deconstruct all these different things. And it kind of takes, let's talk about the real issue here. And I just, it's just the truth. It's the
Yeah.
truth.
And boy, when you said a few minutes ago that your retort to the individual, your friend who's pro-Israel and all of that was, I show up to where you live and I literally say to you, there's a band of us here and we're taking over your house.
Yeah. Think
I mean,
about that
really, I mean, if
happening
that
in
doesn't,
America.
I mean, if that doesn't make it any more real that somebody literally just says, you and I are talking, I'm looking out my window and three vans pull up and somebody
That's
comes to
right.
the door and they're much larger than I am. And it's my wife and I and two little dogs. And they say, well, this is it.
And they have the police with them, supporting them,
And they
and
have the
they have
police
the
with them. So,
military. They have the military supporting them.
So I
And
have
they drag
nobody
you
to
out of your
call.
house. No one.
I have nobody to call. I
No
have
one.
nobody to call.
No
And
one.
so, and when that happens, Don, and that's happened. So does the family just start walking?
They're taken
Where do
in
they
by
go,
different
Don?
tell story that well, it's tough. That's why, you and I chatted a little bit before this. 20, 30, 40 years ago, 22% of Palestinians were Christian. All right? 22% are Christian. That's down to 2% now, Palestinians. Well, what happened to them? They left. Those Palestinians left. They go to, a number of them went to Chile.
Okay.
A number of them are in Honduras. If they have the money,
Okay.
they get out of there. All
Okay.
right.
So they, okay.
I told you about the Christian beer brewers.
Yes.
They've got three children. Two of those children are in Boston because they have American citizenship too. The whole family does. They're in Boston. They will not come back to Palestine because of all the harassment.
Yeah.
The third one also, yeah.
I bet. And so they're estranged from their families. I mean, we just got to get it down to its base level of what this, I mean, this is just crushing people's lives. I liked, I won't even say respected, that's definitely implied. I liked when you responded on Facebook to somebody, or you just said, you know, no more sad emojis. I mean, if you send me any more sad emojis, I will literally, you know, and I just pictured you, I know you well, I just pictured you in a moment of, I'm going to lose my fucking mind
right now.
No more sad emojis, please.
No more sad emojis. Okay. Yeah, I felt like such a smart aleck.
No, but hey, I mean, really, I just thought like, sometimes you got to get it down.
Well, stop crying over this and do something.
That's right. Well, that's exactly
fight,
right.
Fight for justice. Fight for people. I mean, this is true Christianity. True Christianity is taking care of people who cannot take care of themselves. That's true Christianity.
Well, and you know religion. What? As sad as history is in regards to apartheid, I mean, there's no better way. For me, that's one of the things you've left me with today, with a lot of other things that I've learned here. But is that this is there's no doubt about it. This is apartheid again. I mean, to me, this is apartheid again. And it's like you're either gonna at the end of the day, you either support this or you don't. And again, I say this to myself and to anybody listening: any theology that can somehow wax and wane its way to support an apartheid. I mean, really, because it's going to, your theology is going to support it or not, especially if you've got religious tendencies or religious beliefs. Back to what you said, you know, your father, and my father too, there's right and there's wrong. And isn't it interesting? We have to be so cautious about saying that in this day and age because things have been set up so dualistically and not everything is as simple as, well, that's right.
No, I know,
wrong.
I know.
But I mean,
right.
No, but there's a place for it. There is a place to go. You show up to somebody's house and you drag the family out by their hair.
Right.
And it's wrong. And I don't, there's no way in my worldview, there's nothing that can support. But I also have to then, I have to then look at, would I be a proponent of somebody showing up to somebody who's just drug somebody out? Do now I say, well, let's go drag them out of their house. And I mean, I got that energy in me. There was a young person about 15 episodes ago, and I made the assumption, and you know what happens when you assume? I made the assumption that our political views were the same, but I made the assumption that her practices would be the same coming out of her belief system. So I went down the road of bashing Trump. It was really interesting. And she called me on it.
Yeah.
She called me on it. And she said, she didn't call me on it in the moment. And we came back to it about 30 or 40 minutes later. And we left it in the episode. I wanted for it to be in there because I asked her, were you uncomfortable 30 or 40 minutes ago? About what I was, because it triggered in me just that kind of rage that I would actually support a practice that would go grab him and pull him out of his door. And she said, it really did make me uncomfortable, you know, that energy in you. And I just thought, wow, I told her, I commended her. I said, wow, you could hold these beliefs so dearly and you don't go to violence. You don't go to violence. And I so quickly went to violence. So I want to keep myself in check that, but I tell you what, we know who, as you said, Don, we know who's got the power in this apartheid situation, who's got the weapons, who's showing up to drag people out of their houses. Well, man, it's late in Croatia.
Yeah. But it's good. This is a good conversation. Good
it's
conversation.
Wonderful.
And it's important. Thank you.
Oh gosh, Don, this, what an honor for you to invest in this. I was hoping that we wouldn't have to wait, but I was thinking that, hey, Don's going to be coming home and he lives on the East Coast and whatever, because do you want to say a few things as we end about when you do come to King University alongside of fly fishing? I assume you do fly fishing even outside of the U.S. You might, because you're always taking picture of water. You're taking pictures of water.
Water. And, yeah, I know.
But
I know.
when you come back to King, tell us when you'll be coming back, and what's that like as you come back as a professor and you live there on campus and you teach? That'd be a great way for us to say goodbye together.
Yeah. I mean, the fact is, I do live in America. It's weird. I mean, we have a home in East Tennessee, and I come back to that. Of course, COVID has messed up this whole thing. We stayed open, and I stayed in Germany because of underlying health conditions. And the school was generous and let me do that. And I ran everything virtually. And then I had trained my head teaching assistant to lead my main class, and she was just fabulous with the whole thing. So I'm coming post-COVID, and what I do is I'll come in the beginning, like August the 1st, and I got a, you know, we have a home there. And then I'll teach until we have graduation in December.
Okay.
I'll fly back to Germany, spend a couple of weeks doing something, you know, hopefully somewhere warm. If I have money, we'll go somewhere warm. And then I fly back in January and I start the spring semester all over again, and I'm on campus. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, you're Kentucky, I'm Tennessee.
Yes.
And, you know, we're both from Appalachia, at least the region. And,
yes.
And I love being at King because it is a school dedicated to Southern Appalachia since 1867. And so I love going back. I love my students. I hope I can keep teaching.
Wow. Well, Don, this has been fantastic. I want to say thank you for being able to do this, and the challenge of just getting Wi-Fi. Man, we've been on now for well over an hour, and it's held up. It's been better than some places that are literally 30 miles away from me.
Yeah, so, that's crazy. Thank goodness.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. Yeah. So you'll be coming back, you said, in August.
Yeah, August 1st. I come back to the States, and I'll be in East Tennessee and at King University.
And tell us before you go, what about the when you live in Germany? You said your wife works for the Defense Department of Defense, and what part of Germany, and what's that like?
Oh, it's fantastic.
I bet
Germany
it is.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. We live in Wiesbaden. Which is just one of the most beautiful cities in the world, and really love being in Germany. I mean, who wouldn't? I can't believe that we get to do this. We're very fortunate. It will end, you know. Department of Defense, it will end, but we're going to enjoy it while we can. And so we love living in Germany and feel very fortunate to be here.
Well, that's beautiful. And I admire the way Germany addressed COVID.
Yeah.
You know, really, really. I followed some of that just by some of your posts, but also just reading.
Yeah.
Well, Don, thank you again, my friend. And
thank you.
I think the next time you and I are on here, let me say two things about that. One is, I would like to do another episode down the road about, and this is, of course, a big topic, just about the Old Testament. You know, so many people really struggle with that, with that, those books, and the violence components and all those components. So I'd like to talk to you about that. And then I would love to have you soon to be in a round table. We just recently adopted that format. We do these individual interviews, and then we often will ask somebody. They don't have to have had an individual interview to be in a round table, but we'll have up to three guests talking about a topic. And if you would be open to that, I would love to have you sitting at the table with two other people to talk about something we all care about and agree. Well, we agree on the importance of the topic. It doesn't mean we all have, you know, the same way to believe about it, if you will.
I'd love to.
Love to. Wonderful.
I'm there. Wonderful. I'm there. And if I could say one last thing as you go.
Oh, you can.
It's, again, thank you for this. And I do not present myself or do not want to present myself like I know everything that's going on over there or that this is a simple issue. I do not think that at all. I've got a lot to learn. There's a lot I don't know. I hope I have some humility, a lot of humility about this. So there is no sense in me that, hey, I've got the answers, and if you just listen to me, you know, you'd get it all straight. There are a lot of places that are still confusing to me, but there are a few things that I can put my tent peg in.
That's right. You can tie your horse, too.
Yeah, there you go.
All righty, then. Don, bless you, man. Thank you. Be safe.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Doug. This is awesome.